Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Well, here we are, now a week into reading month. How's it going for you? Mine is going pretty good. I'll be finishing a book tomorrow, and I've already started another one. I don't really know how it'll go, though, because I technically have three books going right now. One is an autobiography about our friend Thornton W. Burgess, one is from the Unwanted series by Lisa McMahon, and the new one that I just started is about an astronaut's journey of becoming an astronaut and riding the space shuttle to go to the International Space Station. It's not uncommon for me to have multiple books going at the same time, but I usually try to make sure they aren't from the same genre. Oh well, we'll see how this goes. Don't forget, I would love to know what you are reading. If you want to drop me a line and let me know, just follow the survey link in the show notes and let me know. I'm always looking for new books to read, even though I already have pretty much a whole bookshelf full of books I need to read. Have a great reading month. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Nibble fools Ophie in his own haystack. The little rabbit crouched down in the hole in the bottom of the haystack, not 3 feet away from the wicked rat. But Ophie hadn't seen him. He was sure of it because Ophie kept squalling at the sparrows all the nastiest things he could put his tongue to. And the sparrows, swinging from a branch of the elm tree that leaned above him, weren't much more polite. "Swapping lies with the field mice, were you?" sneered Ophie. "I'll attend to them." "It wasn't lies," shrieked Chirp Sparrow indignantly. "Didn't you come sneaking and creeping just the way you always do? Thought you'd climb up the other side of the stack and surprise us when we weren't expecting you, didn't you? And isn't that exactly what I said? Let me tell you, you're one thing we always do expect. You'll maybe catch us when you learn to fly, but not before." "I'll catch you when I clean out these tattletales of field mice," snapped Ophie, and he gnashed his teeth until the froth made his whiskers white. It wasn't the field mice, Smarty. They never said a word. "It was your own scaly tail that told on you." Chirp spread his wings, opened his beak, and stuck out his tongue at the wicked old beast. And Ophie lashed his own tattling tail in an awful rage. "It wasn't the field mice, was it?" he snarled. "Then who were you talking to? I'll slit your gasping throat for you." And right about then, Nibble decided it was time to move. But he didn't try to run. You see, Ophie would have pounced on him. He turned softly around and slipped into the stack behind him. In a queer place he found himself in, for the whole bottom of the hay was tunneled with holes. They went this way and that, twisting and turning until he lost himself entirely. And they were a tight fit for even a little rabbit to creep through, and dark. My, but that place was dark and scary. It was the darkest place Nibble had ever seen, darker even than a night when there isn't any moon. And stuffy, for besides the sweet smell of the clover, there was a horrible, smothery, weaselly one. Pretty soon, something caught his foot, and he was so scared he gave a little ow. But it was only a piece of wire, and he soon got free again. All the same, he heard a tiny scratch beside him, which scared him more than ever. Right then a voice, even thinner than the scratch, whispered, "Who's there?" "Nibble rabbit," he whispered back. "A rabbit?" exclaimed the voice. "I knew I smelled one. Whatever are you doing here? This is where Ophie the rat lives when he's at home." At that, Nibble gave a little jump, but he struck the top of the tunnel and pricked his soft, loppy ear in the hay. So he went back to crawling, all blind and scared in the blackness, trying to stifle his sniffles and tasting the salt tears that rolled down his nose. And all around him, he seemed to see the long yellow teeth and the frothy whiskers of Ophie, parted in a wicked grin. Suddenly, he struck something small and soft, and the tiny voice whispered, "Take my tail in your mouth and follow me, but don't bite too hard." Nibble Rabbit opened his mouth and caught hold of a slim thing. Like a little round stalk of grass, that was tickling his eyebrows. And he knew it was a field mouse's tail. It twitched as her little feet started running through the inky black tunnels Ophie the rat had made for himself. And the way she turned and twisted made Nibble afraid she didn't know for sure just where she was going. It was no wonder that he had got lost among them. But he scrambled along beside her as fast as he could, and at last they made a sharp turn and Nibble could see the snow outside glistening in the sun. My, how nice it seemed when he reached it, though it made his eyes blink. And when he tried to thank the field mouse, she had disappeared. He crept around the edge of the haystack, looking for where his tracks led into it, so he could follow them back to the woods again. At the second corner, he caught sight of the sparrows still swinging in the elm tree, just as he had left them before he hid in Ophie's own hole. Of course, he waited to hear whether Ophie were still on that side of the stack. Nibble didn't want to be chased by him. And right then, Chirp sang out, "It was a rabbit we were talking to. He's been sitting there all the while in that hole below you." Nibble simply couldn't believe his ears. It sounded as though Chirp wanted Ophie to get him. But Chirp knew what he was doing, for he flashed, "Wait!" with two white feathers in his tail. Chirp knows a thing or two, if he is conceited, and he signals so plainly any rabbit would know what he meant by it, but a rat wouldn't. You ought to have seen the change that came over Ophie. He quickly cleaned his whiskers and began to talk as though he had honey in his throat. "What? A rabbit? Why, Mr. Sparrow, how could you keep me here playing jokes when I had a visitor? That was very unkind of you. I must invite him in and make him at home." He said it so Nibble wouldn't be afraid of him and begin to run, because then he'd have a fine hunt through all those twisty black tunnels to find him. But Nibble knew mighty well that he was only pretending. When he snarled out that he'd slit Chirp's throat and crunched the bones of his baby birds, Ophie had meant every wicked word of it. "Ha ha," laughed Chirp. "You're so funny, Mr. Ophie. We didn't quite know how to take you. The rabbit just stepped inside when he heard you invite him. I saw his tail." "Wait for me, Mr. Rabbit," said Ophie in a sticky, sweet voice. "I'd like to eat with you, and will invite my dear little friends, the field mice, too." He said that because he knew perfectly well Nibble had heard him call them tattletales, and he thumped down right into Nibble's rabbity tracks where they went into the stack. "All safe, come ahead," flashed Chirp, and he actually winked those tail feathers, so Nibble bounced out and made some more tracks in the nice, crunchy snow. But they went away from where Ophie was hunting crossly through his black tunnels under the hay. "Crunchit, crunchit," sang his furry feet in the crispy snow, running away from Ophie the rat and his haystack. "Kaflicket, kaflicket," twiddled his puffy tail as he passed under the elm branch where the sparrows were chuckling to themselves. That was his thank you. I'd better not talk, thought Nibble, for fear Ophi might hear me. All the same, I call Chirp Sparrow pretty smart. He waited until he saw I'd come safely through Ophi's scary dark tunnels under the hay, and then he sent Ophi in there to look for me while I skip off. Only I wish I'd thanked that field mouse who showed me the way out of Ophi's holes. I'll do something for her someday. And he did. You wait and see.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world.